You're listening to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy Freitas. I'm a mom to three and licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm really glad that you took the time to hold space for you by tuning in to today's episode. My hope with this podcast is to share conversations with experts from around the world and parents who've been through it so that maybe you feel a little less alone in your experiences and the messy side of being a parent and being a human, and so that you can walk away with supportive steps for what to do next. Listening to this episode is not a substitute for seeking support from a professional in your area. I believe that holding space and offering presence to both ourselves and others is truly one of the most meaningful ways that we can express care. And you are so deserving of that care. All right, are you ready? Let's dive in. Hello, Holding Space Podcast listeners. I am so excited to share today's conversation with all of you. Today, I'm joined by Hunter Clark Fields. Hunter is a mindfulness mentor, meditation teacher, and the voice behind the Mindful Mama podcast, which I'm going to guess you've probably heard of. One of the top podcasts for parents. She's the author of Raising Good Humans and Raising Good Humans Every Day. And for years, Hunter, you've been supporting parents in moving out of reactivity and into more present, connected relationships with our kids. And what I'm especially grateful for today is that Hunter is joining us not just as a teacher, but as a mom looking back, reflecting on her journey of parenting your oldest, who's now 18, and the lessons that I think really only like time and relationships can teach. And so before we dive in, we'd love to just give you a chance to introduce yourself as well. Folks can hear your voice and anything else you'd love to share just about yourself and the work that you do.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I kind of stumbled into this work because this was not what I was good at. I was, in fact, very bad at it.
Perfect. Love it.
I was really, really struggling. As a mom, as a parent, and I was desperate for some tools. And I realized, you know, I realized like, oh, I can listen to all these great things that these parenting coaches have to say. And then I can feel doubly guilty when I can't implement it because I'm getting reactive. So, you know, I realized that I had been reading about and then practicing mindfulness, reading about it since I was a teenager. But I realized that all this learning from the world of mindfulness about how to build steadiness, how to build clarity, how to make that pause between stimulus and response is really, really, really needed in this space. You know, it was like, I remember thinking, yes, but how do you pause and, you know, say this instead, right? Or whatever. And just, so that's really what I dove into is like, let's make this really real for people who are real, reactive, normal humans and not just paragons of endless patience. And how do we get to a place where we can actually, you know, choose our skillful response?
You are speaking to me, my love language. I have a book coming out in June. My first book, it feels so vulnerable. I'm going to have a vulnerability like hangover for days, I'm sure, as soon as it comes out. But it's already been a meaningful process, no matter the outcomes. I have loved doing it. But the title, which I haven't shared very publicly yet, is called Mom Needs a Moment. and it literally comes from this, as fully human being over here too, just time and time and time again, where I found myself triggered and then reactive, and then just needing that margin, that space, needing that moment to come back to myself, to regulate, to be able to come back and repair. And then slowly building up those skills, not perfectly, right? Kids need imperfect parents, I think, too, to model how to do the stuff
after we mess up. But yeah, to build that muscle tone of being able to more and more in the moment, be able to recognize, oof, my body's sending me some signals here. And I'm creating that space between that trigger and our response. So you are speaking to me. And I can't wait to hear more just about this sort of long game of parenting, right? So, you know, a lot of the listeners, I think, are going to be parents of young kids. And you and I have both been there too. My youngest is 5, so I'm still in it with a young kiddo. And so many times, I think we're trying to do this work, break cycles, learn skills, right? And be more mindful in our parenting and intentional. And our kids are still going to do their job of being kids, which is tricky sometimes. And we're not always going to get that that sort of feedback of like, oh, this really did build like this beautiful connected relationship, right? When they're, you know, being kids. Or, oh, wow, the confidence, like I can see it right here, right now, right? Or they're playing the long game a lot of times, right? And so you don't always get that sort of immediate feeling of this is working.
No, indeed. You don't. No. You have to really trust. It's scary. It's so scary because you really have to trust. I remember thinking, you know, it's funny because I, when my second daughter was born, my oldest daughter was 3. And I remember we went on a walk in the neighborhood and we met this family that, and I was like really obsessed with and thinking about parenting at that time and talked to them about it. And they didn't punish, they didn't use timeouts or anything. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, that is bananas. I'm not going to have my kids walk all over me. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I remember having that thought. And then lo and behold, as it turns out, I never did really. I mean, there were things that happened, right? Natural things that happened over the course of things. But I never was like, I never grounded anyone or anything like that. I never did a timeout. And I have great kids. But it was weird because like when I was in that process of being like, okay, I'm not gonna threaten her. What am I gonna do in this moment? And like in the times of that struggle, I remember thinking like, gosh, this is like a big leap of faith that this is gonna work. You know, like it's really a little scary.
It really is. It really, really is. And especially when like there's a lot of noise around you too, right? Mm-hmm. And noise around you and noise inside of you, right? Like noise inside of you that's like, this is wrong. They shouldn't act like this. Like, and again, when I think ultimately when I reflect on what the kind of like part of me that jumps in the driver's seat in those moments where I have gotten really reactive or I was, you know, it ultimately, I think it's like this fear of like, you need to shut this down. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen. Right.
Well, you want to be responsible too. You don't want to raise somebody who's, you know, you don't want to raise kids who are entitled. You don't want to raise kids who are rude to adults. You don't want to do any of those things. And then you see these behaviors of when they're little. And we think, okay, if I don't punish this behavior, am I setting them up for this, right? Like, and so that's, you know, that's, it's a real fear. I mean, and I think peaceful parenting can go too far. People can swing too far in that direction. I mean, if you're not holding boundaries for your kids, then you may be doing them a disservice to like be leading them towards an entitled existence. Like it's possible that you swung from away from authoritarian harshness towards like permissiveness, which isn't great for kids. And it leads them to make them, you know, they end up feeling sort of uncared for. They can be kind of, you know, we don't want entitled people in the world. We want people who care about how their actions and words and things affect other people. So, it's a messy middle path that we have to walk, and we're going to mess it up. We're going to mess it up lots of times.
I'd love to explore more with you. Just now that your daughter is 18, when you zoom out and look at the whole like landscape of parenting her, what are some things, maybe to start us off, that feel maybe most surprising in hindsight? Can we start there?
Yeah. Most surprising. I mean, with her, the thing that was most surprising is that she, you know, she has a chronic pain condition, and that was a journey and that I didn't expect and really kind of surprised me, because she's a highly sensitive person. She's really, really smart, was very precocious. Like she read Little House on the Prairie when she was four. So she was
okay.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like really precocious. And she, everything was easy for her, right? Like she's natural, you know, she has had her issues and things like that, but like a lot of things that she took to and anything she wanted to learn that she was interested in was easy for her. Other things were hard, but those things were easy. And then she has HEDS, Ehlers-Danlos, and she has chronic pain. And that's been a surprise. Everything along with that has been a surprise. It's been really a challenge to walk that path. So that has been a surprise. But yeah, I, you know, in the beginning, you know, I was very reactive. She's highly sensitive, and it triggered, you know, I'm highly sensitive. That doesn't fall for par. And her big feelings would trigger my temper. And we would, there's a lot of anxiety that I had, and then I'd be scared of like the temper tantrum coming, and it would come two or three times a day, and it was overwhelming for me, and I reacted with like anger, yelling, because of my own upbringing, and then, you know, as I worked to turn this around, which I did, that was like the most important thing in my life, I worried that I had messed up my kid permanently, right? Because you know how they talk about like the first 3 years and how the first 3 years are so important and you're developing these things that will last forever in the first 3 years. And so I was just like petrified. I was like, wow, the first 3 years have been the worst 3 years of my parenting. I mean, they were the worst 3 years of my parenting. I could easily say that now. And I was like, you know, so for many years after that, I was like, have I messed her up? And I would watch her with her sister when, you know, maybe she was four and her sister was one, and just like barking orders and being like, oh, that's what I sound like, and like working to change that, and realizing like that it takes a lot of time for me to change what I'm modeling. It takes a lot of time for me to change my habits of reactivity. It takes time to make lasting change. And in the meantime, I'm unskillful. I'm getting better bit by bit, but I'm still like pretty unskillful a lot of the time in that time. And I'm thinking like, oh God, am I messing up my kid? And I worried about that for a long time, because my oldest daughter is introverted. She's very direct. She's very, she's a little socially uncomfortable. I think that all of these things are kind of like just in her nature. Who knows, nature, nurture. But she, you know, I would worry, like, is she empathetic? You know, is she, and, you know, it's interesting. Like, it wasn't until, and you have to kind of play this long game and trust. And there's like a lot of repair, of course, along the way when you're unskillful, and and change is happening for me a lot in that time. But I remember, you know, when she was, I don't know, 14 or something, maybe she was 15, and I don't know, we had the dog, so I guess, anyway, but the dog, the dog and her sister was always kind of much like her sister got the benefit of like just a much chiller me. She was like less sensitive than Maggie. She's just so naturally empathetic, all this stuff, you know, and I was so much more relaxed and I was more skillful anyway. But so her sister was always more kind of like naturally empathetic and skillful with people. And then there was this one time when her Maggie, my older daughter, was 14 and the dog like ran out in the street and got into a thing with another dog and it scared me. And I came back inside and I was really upset. And my younger daughter was like kind of just defending the dog and like, Mom, blah, blah, blah. And Maggie was like, hey, Sora, can't you see that Mom's upset? And she's like, Mom, do you need a hug? And I was like, yes, yes, I do need a hug.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and she gave me this wonderful hug. And I just remember feeling like, oh, here it is. Like, this is, you know, this is what I had worried about for her. But it's not, I didn't ruin my kid. She has this empathy. She has this care. You know, it was really lovely to see that it's never, it really, really is never too late to turn around a relationship. I learned that again and again.
Gosh, as you're talking, it really has me reflecting on my 14-year-old, because I can so relate to this piece of when she was little. She's my firstborn, you know, and I remember watching actually back some home videos. We had one of those camcorders. And I was cringing at just how, speaking of pressure, just kind of like all over her, like, don't do this, like, don't do this, like, oh, what are you doing? Like, like, you know, and especially if we were around other people. And you know, and it really took time for me to recognize the things that I wanted to change, the things that were triggering me, why they were triggering me, doing my own personal work. And Now that she has, you know, a little sister with a big age gap, you know, who also, lo and behold, as they do, comes into the world with all the big feelings, right? Now I find myself parenting her, you know, quite differently. You know, like, she might not get my full attention, but she gets a more healed version of me. And I will also find times to then turn to my oldest, who like is witnessing these moments, right, of meltdowns, of big feelings, of how I'm navigating them now, absolutely imperfectly, right? But like differently than maybe what she had gotten when she was really little, and coming to her after and being like, you know, I didn't always do it like this. And you might not actually remember, but your body might remember some of the kind of feeling of being like managed. and you know, so we've had a lot of conversations about that too. And so I just want to sort of really, really reflect back the sentiment of like, it's never too late, you know, to go in and have these sort of reparative conversations and to do this work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting too, like how kids take things too. I think like going back and talking about things is really, really helpful. You know, Maggie, she's 18 now. She came and did a podcast with me on the Mindful Mama podcast where we talked about her childhood,
yes,
and upbringing and all this stuff. It's really interesting. And she shared, like, I asked her about some moments that weren't so, like, what was, when was I not a great mom, basically? And she shared that there were times, like, where I was just, like, frustrated. We live in a cul-de-sac and we have a little piece of woods. So they spent a lot of time outside. There was a very safe street, et cetera. And, you know, where I was like, all right, you guys got to leave the house. Do not come back for half an hour. Like, we are done, right? And she shared times like that where she felt a little worried because she was the oldest. She felt pressure to watch her sister and felt some anxiety. So she shared that with me in the podcast. But then it was really interesting too. Then she also was at the time like writing her college admissions or scholarship essays and things like that. And she shared about she shared basically the same story, talking about how positive it was that they spent so much time in the woods, and they were forced to go out in the woods, and they had all this, you know, made forts and fairy houses and all these different things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, okay, all right. Like, mm-hmm. at first I was like, I'm kind of digesting it and feeling like, oh, okay, like, you know, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm definitely not going to, you know, no one's going to be perfect, and we're going to have to face that. Our kids have some stuff from our upbringing. But then it was interesting to see, like, her reframe it in a completely different way and in kind of a completely positive light. So that was really interesting. And I don't know, you know, it's really hard to tell. Like, sometimes our own insecurities get in the way. Like, we were watching, she was home from college, and we watched Queer Eye. And it was this episode about these sisters. And one sister was saying, like, oh, I couldn't talk to anyone in my upbringing. I was like, honey, I think I was PMSing. I was like, honey, do you feel like you can talk to me? And she was like, giving me the eye roll. Are you kidding me? Like, can we just watch the show? Like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I think she's saying, like, obviously I can talk to you, but, you know, we have our own insecurities. So, I'm like 85%, maybe 87% sure that's what she meant. I don't know. But it's interesting now, like, the things I can see paying off down the line.
Yes.
You know, for those who have young kids, definitely repairing. Definitely, like, I see that whole advice of, like, kind of just let your eyes light up and show them you love them, and just keep that kind of coming back to that no matter what what's going on. I see that, and, like, those connection points, even if you've been unskillful, those repair and connection points do make things, you know, better. And that pays off enormously. Like, she comes in for incredible hugs now. I mean, it just, like, keeping that connection alive and just showing them at every age and every stage, even when they're teenagers. I mean, it's easy when they're young and they just want you all the time. But even when they're teenagers, just to light up and to show them that you want to be with them, that you want to listen.
Yes.
And the thing that, like, and really listening, I think that is like such a skill, parenting skill, that we don't talk about that much, but, like, really practicing to be really present and really listening, and to, like, kind of, you know, not every time, but, like, enough times, like, put down your phone, close your laptop, like, enough times, like, turn your body, give them the attention, listen to the super boring story about whatever toy they're talking about.
Yes.
That makes you want to die.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, I'm not sure I'm totally following this, but I'm really listening and I'm looking at you.
I'm in it.
I'm here. And, you know, that, doing that when she was four, listening to those endless My Little Pony stories, it paid off because, you know, she came to me and still comes to me, and she calls me from college, and that, then, you know, if they find out, they learn early on that you're someone who's there for them and can really see them and can really hear them, and you can just, then that'll happen throughout their lives, and that pays off enormously when they're adolescents and there's bigger kids, bigger problems, is absolutely true.
Hey there, if you are a California, Nevada, or New York-based parent, we are accepting new clients. If you reach out to the link in the show notes, drcassidymft.com, you can learn more about my group private practice that supports millennial parents. If you're struggling with triggers as a parent, anxiety, relationships, boundaries, if you're trying to process a traumatic birth experience, or you're navigating fertility or pregnancy loss, we are here for you. If you are ready to take the next step in getting support with therapy, head to the link in the show notes, drcassidymft.com. Then click on the contact page and fill out that form. That is you sending an email directly to me. I will follow up with you, and I will make sure that you will get connected with the right therapist in our group. And that's me included. We work with both individuals and couples. So if you are ready to take that next step, head to that link in the show notes. I am so excited to connect with you. So what I'm hearing you say is that, like, the through line between like the through line and like a totally messy, imperfect through line, right?
Very.
From when they're little to the teens, and now young adult, is repair. Yes. Let's just like continue to put that on the pedestal of like parenting tools. Repair, delighting in your children. I love that you described it as like just like your eyes, like they see it, right? Like I think that when we think about like, oh my gosh, if I totally messed up my kids, right? Like with like my tone or the thing I said or these years of just like trying to control them and micromanage their feelings. And, you know, as a therapist who works with adults who are maybe doing past trauma work, trying to break cycles, work through their triggers, a lot of times like what they are reflecting on is like, sure, it was the tone, it was like the look in someone's eye. But when they do this work of healing, what they're also able to access is, you know, that one adult that looked at me like I really was worthy, or they looked at me like they delighted in me. They were interested. So you also said like listening, they were interested. And it's usually in those moments when someone can start to do their own healing work, or now they're accessing it within themselves, right? And now they're wanting to provide that and offer that now to their child. And so I just love that you kind of described it as like that, like lighting up in your eyes. And gosh, as a parent, in order to be able to access the capacity to really delight in Minecraft, right? Or, you know, like whatever else it is that your child is into, we also need to be really mindful of like how restored we are, right? To be able to access that, our own capacity. And like, what a cool thing to model to our kids too, right? That like rest is productive, that it's okay to say that you need to take a moment, right? To say something like, I so want to be here with you right now. And you know what? I just need to take a minute for myself, or more than a minute for myself. And then I really want to come back to it. And then coming back to it. I feel like one of the things that has been surprising for me is how fun teenagers are, like how cool it is to be in connection with a teenager. And how important it is, you know, early on to, as you were describing, build sort of this sort of rhythm of, I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to mess up. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to mess up. There are ways in which we can come back together and say, hey, I didn't love the way that went down. Can we start again? Or to delight in them when they're little, to so that they know that like you're going to continue to find delight in them and make that space for them as they get older, and just really listening, those three through lines, I think really do have payoff. And there are absolutely moments, you know, with a 14-year-old that are so hard, and different ways in which, you know, I'm having to also let go of certain things. And I hope that she'll call me if she's ever also in a moment where she's like, hey, mom, you didn't know I was going to be here, but I'm here at this place. I'm really uncomfortable. Will you come get me? Right? When like those sort of situations potentially come up, as they might, is her knowing that in connection with me, that there is never a question that I think that she's worthy of love, and that nothing can kind of shake that up. Because I've actually like told that to her, right? And like now there's been like lived experiences where maybe I did overreact to something and then came back and was like, that's not actually how I wanted to handle that. This situation does not change how much I love you, and how good I know that you are, right? And oof, like, can I repair this with you, right? Not afraid to have uncomfortable conversations. These are some of the big through lines.
Yeah. And none of this means, for if you have young kids, none of this means that you know, because your kid wants something, because your kid wants their attention, and it may not be a good moment, that you must stop everything, because right. that's you know, my kid is the most important thing. You know, no, like they need you to have capacity. They also need you to be human. They need you to be authentic, not
have
some
boundaries.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, not some perfect role. Like there's this wonderful, wonderful book I have by Annie Burnside called Soul to Soul Parenting. And she says soul to soul, not role to role. And ooh. I love that because it's not like I'm going to be this role of this mother, you know, and I'm going to be this like, fake perfect mother. No, like be you and all your weird quirkiness and whatever, you know, weird stuff you have. Like your kids love that stuff. But yeah, like when we talk about delighting in them, showing up, wanting to be part of their lives, all these different things, it doesn't mean every second of every day too, right? Like let's allow ourselves to be human. Let's take care of our needs. Like one of the things when Maggie was little and she was so highly sensitive and she just wanted, and I was like, wow, I recognize right now that she I took her as a baby. She hated the YMCA childcare. They came and got me after 10 minutes. And I was like, oh no, this is not going to work. I need to exercise or I'm going to be cuckoo bananas. Like this is really hard right now.
Yeah.
I need to. And so I took her back the next day. They came and got me after 15 minutes. And the next day they came and got me after 20 minutes. It really took a while. She never loved YMCA childcare. But I was like, I'm sorry. My kid clearly doesn't love this.
Yes.
But too bad. She's going to have an hour of her day.
I also need this.
She does not. absolutely love, and it's gonna be fine. She's safe and she's fine and everything's cool, and I need to exercise. So like that's for me, I feel like that's, I mean obviously she's one, she doesn't remember that, but you know, that's modeling boundaries and modeling taking care of myself. And that, you know, I think it's really important to show your kids that your needs are really important. You don't want to show them that parenting ends when you know, that your life ends when you become a parent. Why would they ever want to become parents? No, you want to show them that you can be a full and complete human being.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the selfless parent, I think actually the idea of that, and I think some of us may actually, I mean, may feel like when we think about our own mothers or parents that we did feel like we had a selfless parent, but like there's something about that does not actually feel safe, right? Like if there's, if I have no self, if I am selfless, right? Less of myself being able to show up in my relationships, in kind of the access I have to what I'm needing, that actually feels really scary, I think, actually. And for a child, too, because I need to know that someone in here, as a kiddo, I need to know that someone here is taking care of themselves so that they can actually manage this and protect this, right? And and know where things need to stop or how to show up in this, and they have the capacity for that. And so if that means, I love this, like you just kept going back to that free childcare at the Y, you know, well, free, but I guess you're paying to be there, but like the access to childcare so that you could take that moment for yourself. And this is something that I've actually had so many parents do. Sometimes they work out, or sometimes they just literally go and sit in the locker room and like read a book, or like just sit and lay down knowing someone else is taking care of their kid for a bit in the same vicinity if they don't have, you know, family or other childcare access, right? And so, oh my gosh, yes, I love this. And so when we're looking at, tell me if this makes sense, you know, this aligns for you. When you look back from having this like long parenting perspective, you know, of this, all of your kids' childhood years, it sounds like what I hear you saying is that you didn't do it perfectly. And gosh, especially in the beginning, right? Like it took a while to like kind of find your footing as a parent. And I just think that's so relatable. And then what you did learn to do was to take care of yourself, not perfectly, but, you know, recognizing when you might need it and then kind of trying to meet that need, you know, repairing now, but also being able to kind of go back and as I kind of explored too, like being able to repair the earlier stuff too, kind of naming it, not letting the shame kind of hide us from it, you know, and hide others from it, but kind of showing up as our full selves, as imperfect as we are, finding different ways to connect with your kid. I know that for me, some of the best moments have been when I'm able to set aside and protect like one-on-one time with each kid to just really figure out what they're interested in and really leaning into their interests, really listening, and also having boundaries, you know, like, and providing that. And the best way that we can do all these things is if we're actually being more sort of self-interested, you know, like interested in what self is needing throughout all of this.
We could say self-aware.
Self-aware. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Like just conscious of like, what do I need? You know, what's going on, you know, because what our kids need ultimately, like the very best thing that we can give them, you know, and this is from having over 500 conversations in the podcast, like with all these experts, but like, what do they need? Like for attached security and everything, they need a one person who is steady, right? Who is steady enough, who is present enough.
And
who can process their own feelings enough, right? Like, and so, yeah, that's, I mean, when I think about that journey that I took with Maggie, was that I had to cultivate a level of steadiness that I hadn't known till then. And parenting, you have a baby, you're thrown completely off kilter. You're totally not steady, right? It's natural, but yeah, the thing that then they require of you is this steadiness. And I remember thinking like there's a little poem in the Plum Village traditions of Thich Nhat Hanh, and you know, as you breathing in, I'm like a mountain. Breathing out, I feel steady. Breathing in, I'm like a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. Breathing in, I'm like a mountain. Breathing out, I feel steady. And I felt like, oh, yeah, like that's what I really, really want. Like I got that flower part down. That's great. But I need that mountain energy. And so, yeah, the awareness to see, like, what do I need? And what does my kid need from me?
Yeah. Okay, this has been so wonderful. I so appreciate your willingness to come on and share from now this perspective. And maybe I'll just, we'll kind of wrap up with this. If there was one message that you could give to a parent who's in the thick of the toddlerhood years, and it's, they're really wanting to break some cycles and have a connected, calm, present relationship with their child. And it's really tough because, you know, toddlers are doing their job of being toddlers with all the feelings, and they haven't learned to just like hold it all in and present themselves in this perfect little package like some of us might have thought over time that we needed to do, right? If you could give them just one message while they're in the thick of it, what would that be?
I guess I would say that ultimately this is a short amount of time. It feels like it's going to be like this forever, but that period is so intensive and it requires, like, this is like, if you've got some resources to use them now. Use them on getting the mother's helper to come a couple times a week. Use them to get the babysitter, or like whatever it is. Like don't think, oh God, it's going to be like this for 18 years. It's not. It's going to be like this for like another maybe 3 years, and use your resources to get support that you need to get through this intensive time. That's what I would say. And then as you invest in this time when they're young, it will pay off later. But get some resources and support for that time.
So true. Like, because when I think about like with my 11 and my 14-year-old, like I don't need that same sort of help, right? With that, it's hard in other different ways. But also, I just want to name this, like, I really think the tween age needs a rebrand. Like it can be so good. Like this has been one of my like most meaningful experiences as a parent is having a teenager and getting to see some of those things as you're playing the long game, like pay off, right? In some really, really meaningful ways.
The investment like I made in transforming the way I respond, learning the language of like reflective listening and I messages and how to solve problems and all of these things, like I worked so hard on that. Like I like learned a brand new language, but it paid off because parenting, instead of getting like harder and harder and harder as they become teenagers, it did. It got easier and easier. Like it snowballed easier. Yes. And so when you invest in yourself and learning and all that when they're young, it does pay off.
It does. And then you get to kind of stand back. And standing back is also hard to do because it's...
Oh my God, yes.
It's a letting go, but like... Oh, there are these moments of standing back and seeing your kid and all of their unique self and having language for their internal world and like sharing that with you. It's so, so worth it. But I love this feedback of get those resources earlier on without the like guilt or shame of like, why do I need this? Like, of course you do. Like, this is really intense. And then you are learning a new language. Of course, this feels hard. It feels hard because it is, you know? And no one out there is doing this perfectly, right? Like, we're all so messy. Like, and also that I think that each parent has this unique access of what, like, they were a kid once too and what they might have needed. And that's coming from within, right? Not what some expert can tell us what to say or do, like accessing that. And sometimes there's blocks to that because of our own stuff, right? Like our own pain. And sometimes therapy can be supportive in helping folks work through that. And there's no shame in that either. You know, I'm a therapist. I needed therapy to work through my stuff so that I could show up for my kids too.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. Where can folks find you?
Well, you can find me at the Mindful Mama podcast. You can find Raising Good Humans wherever books are sold. And everything else is at mindfulmamamentor.com.
Beautiful. I will link all of this here in the show notes for our listeners to go find and stay in connection with you. Hunter, thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, you might want to hit that subscribe button to be the first to know when future episodes air. And go and explore some of those past episodes. Maybe there's a topic in there that you've really been wanting to learn more about. You can learn more about my private practice as well as my parenting courses and workshops at the link in the show notes. You held space for yourself today. You carved out the time and you tuned in to this episode. I hope you take a moment to honor how meaningful that is. Yes, to me for sure, but also for you. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time.